5208 Media.
My name is Robbie DeShazer, and I love craft beer. Living in Austin, the craft beer capital of Texas, there's no shortage of great brews to try out. That's why I decided to make this show. I got my best friends Carter and Wendy with me, and together we're going to try new beers and really stretch ourselves to the limits of our taste buds. Because we know that beer is more than just the fizzy yellow stuff you see on TV. This is Tap Heads.
Hello and welcome, everyone.
I love when we have a live audience.
To Tap Heads, I am one of your co-hosts today, Carter Spilliards. With me is my other co-host, Wendy Lopez.
Oh shit, that was me.
And we have a special guest for y'all today, Mr. Robbie DeShazer.
What is up, everybody?
Are you excited to try some beers today, Robbie?
I'm excited.
Robbie, we're so happy to have you on this show, Tap Heads, that was started to bring friends together to drink beer. I don't know if you know a bit about craft beer.
I'm pretty new to it. I've only been drinking it for like a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. I've been drinking it for much less, and I will tell you about all the hops, all the bitter, all the Belgian triple styles, whatever.
Yeah,
beer.
That sounds fantastic.
We've been doing this podcast for so long, we're experts now.
Yeah.
It's us.
Absolutely. Can we stop the bit so I can stop playing this character that doesn't know about beer?
Oh, is that what really bothers you?
No, I want to be able to talk freely. I'm gonna talk about how proud I am of you guys.
Sure.
All right.
Welcome to Tap Heads. This is this is an episode. I think I teased it last episode.
Yeah.
Wendy and Carter are they chose all the beers for this. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what
flipping it on its head.
Yeah, I'm really excited. That being said, do you guys want to talk about the beers that we've had recently? Some of the different brews we've tried since the last time we recorded?
Well, I'm going to talk about one that Robbie and I tried.
Well, Carter and I tried quite a few beers together. If you follow us on Twitter, we went to two different breweries in the Dripping Springs area.
Yeah, went to Last Stand Brewery and Vista.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to talk about my favorite, which was Desert Skies.
A fantastic beer.
It's Vista Brewing. Their collaboration with Desert Door, Sotal.
Oh, it's already out.
That's why we went out there to try it. It's their
and
dark.
And Wendy turned us down in the morning.
I know. It's their Dark Skies.
A lot of stuff.
Black Pilsner.
Black Pilsner that they have aged in Sotal barrels, and it's kind of wild. It has the very distinct flavor profile of Sotal. That smoky, kind of.
If you
agave,
haven't had
Sotal,
similar to a mezcal.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix between a mezcal and a tequila. It's in that family.
I Googled it real quick so that way people know. Sotal is a North American desert plant of the agave family with spiny-edged leaves, small white flowers, and it's made of that sap. And so, like, you'll find this in, like, the South. No offense, might even be the weed of that plant. But they make it.
All right.
But yeah, it's interesting. It's good. It's got a very kind of, it's still got kind of a light body for having such a bold flavor.
Yes.
I was very impressed. It's black as night, like dark.
It's already a very dark beer.
It almost absorbs light. It's like scary dark.
I highly recommend
it. It's so refreshing though.
Yeah. Very good. My other favorite we had was the Brunch IPA from Last Stand Brewing Company, which was the sour IPA. That
was good.
Tasted like orange juice, really.
It was very sour.
It was very sour. It tasted like fresh orange juice.
It was
like,
tasty, though.
Yeah. They also had a pretty good juicy IPA that was Fuzzylicious.
Yeah, the Fuzzylicious was good.
And then I always recommend and I love their Citrus Mash IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a Black Rye IPA that I thought was okay.
It's all right.
Yeah. I usually like a little more of that Black Rye flavor in something like that. But
it was particularly kind of weak.
Yeah. I liked their space, though, for not being, like, huge and
not
impressive.
Being not being, like, a huge ranch like Vista or Jester King. It was a nice space. They make most of it. And they've got, like, a little distillery next door that does spirits that you can go in and try.
And they're right up the hill from Argus.
Argus Cider, yeah.
Yeah, quite literally up the hill.
All those brewers are all right next to each other.
Yeah. And then we had a good little Mexican lunch.
Yeah, we had a lovely lunch at Flores.
All right, losers, let me tell you about my beer.
Carter and I went on a date, and Wendy...
Yeah, I know you're bragging.
You could have gone.
You could have gone.
I know. I know. I was wide awake when Carter invited me.
Yeah.
And I still said no.
You were here, and then Carter came to pick me up.
Oh, wow. For the record, I didn't do anything that day, so didn't feel too bad. So I had two beers on Friday evening. The first one that I had is called the Blueberry Boyfriend. It's by, I had it up, Prairie Artisan, I don't know how to say it.
Prairie Artisanal Ales.
It's the one we had, the Murica, right?
Murica, we had Murica from them. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of things from Prairie.
Yeah. It was.
There was one that we had, it was the Froze All Day was on our Tavor episode, was a Prairie. They're from Oklahoma. They're a very good brewery.
Yeah, no, I really like this beer.
I recommend their stout. Their stout bomb is very good.
Stout bomb.
So,
well, there is a stout called bomb.
Stout bomb.
It's a bomb.
It's kind of scary.
There's a bomb in Centennial Park.
It's a stout bomb.
So the Blueberry Boyfriend, that's the name of the beer that I had from them. As the name, blueberry. It's sour, tart, smooth. But it was pretty good. I give it a 3. But I also had the French Press from St. Arnold that I would want to try again because it was also just a half. It was a meh. But I couldn't tell if I couldn't taste it very well because I had the blueberry right before. But it was coffee. It was fine. It was light. Yeah.
Well, all right.
We ready to get going?
Yeah. So ready. I'm going to let you guys take it away.
All right, Wendy. Do you want to introduce our first beer?
Yeah. I'm so excited for the first beer because it looked really fun. And hence the series it's a part of, the fun series from Carbog Brewing.
Oh, I have had this.
Fuck. Can I curse on the show? I forgot.
Yes.
Well, we haven't had it, and we thought you maybe didn't, but too late. We got it.
You've had the specific one?
The High Tide? Yeah.
Well, okay. It's only... So it's the thing is that the 18 doesn't necessarily mean like the barrel release. It's like the series. So it's the number of the series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's currently the most recent one. So the High Tide...
I haven't had it recently. I had it the last time I was at Carbog, so...
Which is not too long ago, because the beer was released in September 2019...
Maybe I haven't had this then.
Fuck yes. There are other beers of the Fun Series.
Yeah.
I thought I had Fun 18, but maybe I had Fun 17.
So the Fun Series.
It's their barrel-aged series.
It's their barrel-aged, small-batched. It's them trying a lot of unique flavors. They typically do stuff from like Merlot, Bourbon, Armagnac. I don't know how to say that. But this one specifically is aged in a tequila barrel.
Ooh.
It's an ale brewed with passion fruit and spices aged in tequila barrels. The ABV on that one, I can't reach. There we go. The ABV on that one's a 7.2, and the IBUs is a 15. So
this smells, I'm getting a lot of, definitely some oak notes from the barrel. I'm not getting a ton of tequila in the nose itself.
No.
Do you know what the base beer is on this?
I feel like it's some kind of agave in it.
Just
does it say on the bottle what the base beer is?
Let's see.
It's
ale. It just says ale brewed with passion.
It's an American wild ale.
So that's what it's become. I didn't know if you knew it though.
No.
Asian tequila barrels. High Tide pours a hazy gold into a glass of aromas of fresh fruit and salty ocean air. Take one sip and get lost in the complex blend of flavors of passion fruit and spice.
Okay, I took a sip.
What do you think?
It's very interesting.
Yeah?
It's very interesting. Definitely sour.
It's got a very kind of fruity nose.
Yeah, they're definitely going for kind of the...
I could drink this on the beach.
I get a little bit of coconut in there.
This is very, very...
Get a little fruity. Bit of coconut on the back end, like if you just let it like sit in your mouth, don't take another sip.
I definitely get the agave.
Yeah.
It's not really tequila, but it's got kind of an agave profile. Mm-hmm. The sweetness is kind of an agave sweetness.
Yeah, for sure. It's not a tequila.
I'm also surprised at how boozy this does taste.
I think it's from the tequila.
Yeah. But the description, I was like, oh, this is going to be refreshing.
The passion fruit.
It'll be lighter.
The passion fruit is interesting.
Yeah, I like the passion fruit a lot.
It's not like in your face. It's there. It's present.
You get what I'm saying about the coconut though?
Yeah. It's kind of that dull coconut sweetness at the end.
Yeah.
Which is probably, it's a really more of an herbal sweetness, which is similar to agave.
There's kind of a weedy note at the end also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think, Robbie?
It's good. It's good. The Fun Series and their other bourbon barrel aged series. I'm trying to remember what that's called. What the acronym for that is? Oh, that's No. Fun. So do you guys know what FUN stands for? F-U-N.
No.
Friends United.
F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me.
So.
N is for anytime.
Believe it or not, it doesn't say on the website what FUN stands for.
Because it stands for fucking unbelievable nectar is what it stands for.
Oh.
That's a tidbit you get if you do the tour at
Carbuck. I love the kind of the golden color. It's
very good.
Very filtered.
What'd you say the ABV on this was again?
7.2.
It has a boozy taste, but it's not a...
It's not very high.
There's a little... the only thing I don't love, and this is the thing I would say about Goza's too, is there's a little bit of a saltiness that I don't love, but...
personally,
I don't.
I like it.
To me, it kind of goes with the agave.
Yeah, like I was gonna say I don't love it just sitting here in my mouth at the end. I do like it in conjunction with the flavors that are present.
I'm not
loving that I'm sitting in the back and I can feel like kind of a saltiness in my throat.
I wonder if you could make like a beer cocktail with this one.
Put it in a margarita.
Because I personally think it's really refreshing.
It is very refreshing. I would just drink this on the beach.
Yeah.
I would take this 100 times over like a Corona or something on the beach.
Yes. Oh yes. Well, I would take most beers over a Corona on the beach.
Retweet.
Yes, but
give me a Pacifico any day.
Pacifico on the beach, excellent.
But yeah, this tastes lighter than those.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, 100%.
Which I like, but like you said, it has a boozier profile to it.
It's all, everything is there. I'd like to make like a pina colada with it. Like something.
I love pina colada.
Rather than a margarita, because I think some of the flavors clash a little bit between a margarita.
Probably.
Yeah.
But altogether, a very good, very strong opener.
You like it?
Good job, Carbuck. Yes. They've got, their bourbon barrel aged is also very good.
Point one.
Do you want to speak a little bit about Carbuck? For people who maybe jumped in on this episode.
Oh, yeah. No, we've talked about Carbuck before. They're from Houston, Texas. Go H-Town. They were, I don't remember what year they opened. But
they opened 2011.
2011. They're known for their Kolsch Love Street, which was a seasonal at one point. They're known for really for Love Street and Hopadillo.
Mm-hmm.
And now I would say Crawford Bock is pretty... expansive, at least here
beer
in Texas.
Beer of the Astros?
Yes, the official beer of the Houston Astros. Or not the official beer. The official craft beer of...
Yes.
yes, because their parent company is the official beer of the Astros, Budweiser. So.
Yep, Anheuser-Busch. They've been known since 2016. But it's one of the... In 2013, it was named the second fastest growing craft brewery in the United States. They have a really awesome beer garden, and they do a lot of like live music events. I want to go to the Love Street this year. I don't know how much.
Their festivals, it's supposed to be good. Last year, it's always got some pretty big names.
Did they have Walk the Moon?
Walk the Moon played last year.
Wild.
And
Shut Up and Dance with Me.
Their beer garden and their event space is very, very good.
Yeah, imagine. It's really dope.
Also, their restaurant, they've got a fantastic restaurant that is attached.
Fancy.
It's very good.
Cool. Yeah.
We'll do it sometime.
We ready to move on?
Unless you want to talk more about A&B, but just I always love to bring up the... there were three breweries that Anheuser-Busch almost considered purchasing in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them Houston, one of them Austin. Of course, St. Arnold was probably their first choice as the oldest brewery in Texas. Then the other choice was over here, our hometown, Austin Beer Works was up for...
Oh, dang.
Was approached with an offer, and then Carbuck eventually did get bought out.
Three strong breweries.
Yeah.
The event that I did.
Probably the three breweries making the most consistent beer in Texas.
Yeah.
The event I did with St. Arnold, where we had Brock Wagner, he mentioned that cause someone asked him, they're like, why didn't you do it? And it was, for him, it was like, he liked being able to help smaller businesses. You know, it was a family thing, and they went up the street.
Yeah.
And, yeah. All right.
They really did. Yeah. The St. Carbuck until recently was probably my second favorite or my first favorite brewery in town. And then St. Arnold did their recent, made their new tap room.
So nice. Brewery that's a fancy place.
We'll have to do a Houston trip.
Yeah. I haven't been.
You have never been to Houston at all?
I've been to Houston once. No, I've been twice. I went once to go to the Texas 5A football championship game.
Yeah.
When Wiley made it the one and only time, and I went to Reliant.
NRG.
NRG. And watched the game, and then I went before that with the Cub Scouts to NASA.
Oh.
Spent the night in the Johnson Space Center.
Yeah.
In the museum, like sleeping under.
Space Center Houston, yeah.
Yeah, sleeping under one of the capsules.
I won suspended a Pokemon contest one, there one time.
All right.
Yeah, but beer number two.
Beer number two.
Beer number two. You'll recognize the brewery.
Beer.
Because it's
the brewery.
Nice.
The beer's called.
I haven't had this one.
Orxata.
Orxata.
I'll be honest. I've always been confused about how to pronounce X's in Spanish.
I think it's Orxata.
If the word sounds familiar, because it resembles horchata.
It's supposed to be,
I was gonna say in December drinking Orxata.
Okay,
I'm going to need to take a big sip of water.
Yeah, yeah. It's very different.
So when Carter and I picked these beers, we'll be honest, we didn't look at the ABV. We kind of looked at the type of beer and what looked cool and tasty.
Yeah. Ooh.
So, yeah.
Pretty color.
Orxata, it's a blonde ale brewed with rice and lactose with natural cinnamon and vanilla flavors added. I'll read what they have on the website. Orxata is a traditional sweet milky drink originating. I can't reach you.
Well,
This is why Robbie does the passing. Yeah. It's a traditional sweet.
For some reason, all sat really far apart from each other.
Except you and I. We got closer.
Yeah, we're real close.
Even though we're the ones that we're
getting. Even though we're running together.
The drink originates from Spain and Latin America. It's become quite popular in Southern California, particularly with Mexican cuisine. This is their homage to a traditionally non-alcoholic drink.
Let me see the can.
It's brewed with a heavy dosing of rice, cinnamon, fresh vanilla beans, along with lactose for a little creamy character. It's to create a taste and experience that hints at horchata, but it's much more than that. The flavor is hard to describe, but for those of you who know it, you'll love it. The ABV on this one is a 7.1.
It's a 7.2 on the can.
Yeah, 7.2 on the can. 7.1 on the website.
Does it say the release year of it? Because it was first released in 2017. There's also 2018. They apparently release it pretty regularly. A little bit about the brewery.
I guess it would be the 2019 release.
Mm-hmm. The brewery itself, it's a boutique craft brewery located in Orange County, California, specializing in barrel-aged and experimental ales. Founded as a small friend and family business run in 2008, the brewery takes its unique moniker from a founder, Patrick Rue's family surname. Yeah, so excited. Oh, you tried it. What was first?
You're going out of step with us, right?
Yeah, you typically smell.
This is what you guys do.
We do the smell. No, I don't taste it till we're all doing it. We do the smell.
No. Carter definitely tasted before.
I tasted it sometimes.
You and I were both smelling it, and I was smelling it and then tasting. The nose, color is it's very much a blonde ale.
It's a pretty blonde ale. It's
the nose get a lot of vanilla, a lot of cinnamon.
Cinnamon and vanilla.
And that's what you taste a lot of, too.
Yeah.
Tell us what you thought, because you had the first sip. Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. I don't know if I like it yet or not. I'm also not a huge horchata person, which is fine.
It's totally fine. And I think that's the really big point, like how it's in the description and how you're bringing up. This tastes a lot like horchata.
Yeah, there's a lot of definitely, I can tell just from drinking it that there's a lot of flavor additives in there rather than like just getting the flavors from either barrel aging or hopping or using a certain malt and barley like character. That being said, the malt character is very present once you get past that rice and vanilla and cinnamon note.
Well, I'm really curious how they use the rice to get that flavor in there, because it's a huge part of horchata. But in the beer, I'm like, to mix it with like the malt.
This really does just taste like horchata.
But beer. Yeah.
But with beer. But it's not bad. It's just different.
I wish it had a more of that flavor. Because honestly, it just tastes like I mixed beer and horchata.
I like that it's kind of creamy.
It's very creamy.
I appreciate that.
I don't love the carbonation with these flavors also.
Yeah, a lot of bubbles.
You guys ever had carbonated milk?
No.
God.
There's an old story I wrote for the Black Sheep DePaul. They put a Kellogg's milk machine where you could do like different cereal flavors in your milk, but you could also carbonate it.
I don't know
and
about
we
the
made carbonate. We made everybody. I made all of our writers try carbonated milk, and I got like different gifts and pictures of their reactions. It wasn't good. I'm getting similar flashbacks to this with like some of these flavors being present with the carbonation. I will say better than carbonated milk.
I'm glad it doesn't taste like candied cinnamon. It tastes very much like the spice cinnamon.
Yes. Yeah. I do appreciate that. And I don't mean to be like down on it.
You're fine.
A taste test between this and like rum chata.
No. That's so different. That one's so sweet. Well, I think I wish it was stronger in those flavors.
Yeah. This just feels because, like we've got two different things going on here. Mm-hmm. We've got a horchata, like a horchata syrup almost, like someone had made that.
I like
it. And then just poured it straight into a blonde.
I mean, I like the beer. I wanted it to be stronger.
I like that it's not too saccharine. Like it could have been very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's keeping the kind of bold like beer profile.
But that's what I do wonder, like Robbie said, if this were aged in a bourbon barrel, if it would taste more of that?
Yeah.
Would the caramel bring out the cinnamon, bring out the rice, the vanilla?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I like it.
I would like to see what they would do with this beer as like a base beer in their terroir series, which is what where we got that with the funk that we had one time. That was on the episode where I made your mix six. Mm-hmm. If they did it with that open barrel aging process, I wonder what we would get from that.
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon. I think this is good. There's some things I'd like to see tweaked, but...
Also, like you said, if you're not a fan of horchata, you probably won't like this beer because it's very much that. And the more you let it sit, the more you get like the vanilla, you get the cinnamon. Mm-hmm. But if you don't like horchata, don't recommend this beer to you.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
It is what it is.
Overall, I still like the brewery a lot.
Yeah. I was really surprised to see this because, it's a very clear and like honest like homage to horchata.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. It is transparently exactly what they gave you.
Yeah.
I love the can though. The design of the can is fantastic.
They've got some funky cans.
I also meant to mention that I really like the fun bottle as well.
Oh yeah. I like that's why I grabbed that.
Yeah.
It looked fun. But beer number three, if you're ready, take a drink of water, and Carter.
Yeah, this is very different. You want to make sure you take a very palate cleansing.
Like we said, we got everything under the sun.
Yeah. Oh,
we're like, we got that type, rather than a nice flower.
They give you an idea. Our next beer is from Blue Owl.
Oh, nice.
So sour.
Another sour.
Blue Owl Brewing.
Yes.
Maybe this one's different, which is why we didn't do it with... We also didn't know how sour the first one's going to be.
We found out very quickly.
Yeah. This is their new... Tell me if you've had it. Can't Quit You.
I've not had this.
Their Sour Hazy IPA.
Ooh.
So...
This sounds very trendy.
Yeah. So...
I'll be honest, when we were picking beers for you...
Is that a tall boy?
I immediately went to
IPAs. That's a Blue Owl... I have not seen a Blue Owl tall boy.
They only sell it in tall boys.
Oh my God. I love this already.
So it's 7.6%.
Oh, my fanboy is coming out because I don't gush over Blue Owl on the pod as much as I do in like real life, which is
Blue Owl is so good.
Yeah. Yes,
78 IBUs.
Okay,
We're
not gonna taste it. It's Blue Owl and it's a hazy.
That's what I was really curious.
Through good times and bad times, the Sour Hazy IPA is there by your side forevermore. Refreshing, non-judgmental, and unique, Can't Quit You is the harmony of flavor and friendship. Brewed for the fifth year in collaboration with our longtime BFFs at Black Star Co-op and Brewery.
Black Star Co-op.
Yep.
Yes, they're because awesome.
That's what friends are for.
Black Star, I'll just give a quick recommendation. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Austin area, if you're just visiting, check out Black Star. Check out their Beyond Meat Burger. It's maybe Impossible. I don't remember.
Oh.
They have a very good...
Everybody's talking about that burger.
They have a very good vegan burger. And it's mostly because of their pub sauce that they put on all of their burgers. But if you're into that, go check it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this year's Sour Hazy IPA is brewed using three different hops, Azaka, Citra, and Eldorado.
Okay. Two of my favorite hops in there, Eldorado and Citra.
And then Can't Quit You is available on draft at several locations. And for the first time, they're offering it in 16-ounce cans to go.
Yes.
So that's the only way you can get it. The flavor profile is freshly squeezed tropical fruit flavors mingled.
Don't tell me the flavor profile yet.
Okay.
We're gonna drink it. We're going to come up with a flavor profile.
Never mind.
That was a good, satisfying...
Yeah.
You made up for it with a... Very good and satisfying.
Good.
Well, luckily, I didn't finish the flavor profile.
Well, like Robbie's mentioned, Blue Owl is a sour brewery based here in Austin. They make a bunch of sour beers, and they're all really different, really distinct taste.
Oh, I can already smell it.
They're in a couple.
Oh my God!
I think in a couple weeks they're releasing the lime one. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah. It might be this weekend.
Ooh.
I think it's while... Jesus. So we're recording this at the beginning of February. This is going to come out the second to last week.
Hoppy.
Yep. I knew it was going to still be hoppy. It's a hazy IPA.
It's something you're not going to taste. It's going to be a very... you're going to smell a lot of it, but you're going to taste a lot of it.
Ooh. That is a hoppy smell.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells so good. It smells so tropical and smells like fruity and like citrusy.
Tropical hops.
Oh, it's not... It's hazy, but it's not the haziest.
It's very bubbly.
Yes. That's to be expected with well, though.
It is pretty hazy.
Yeah. I've seen hazier hazy IPAs in the middle of this trend.
Well, this is a sour.
I love this can, too.
The can's great. It's just a simple gray. It's got a lovely kind of blue-green pattern on the bottom.
Yeah.
This smells so hoppy. All right. Robbie's taking the sip. First step for man.
Yeah?
What do you think? I like this. I like this a lot.
Guess what? I like it.
Definitely get some of that Blue Owl yeasty aftertaste because of how they sour mash.
Their beers, yeah.
I love this.
Very, very juicy.
Wow.
Very floral, not quite piney, but...
you don't taste the hops at all.
No, but the aromatics do add just a whole other dimension to it.
There's a whole dimension of flavor.
Which is fantastic.
You got the taste and the smell.
Oh, like I was saying, you're going to hear this at the end, kind of the middle to the end of February. We're recording this at the beginning, so I don't remember what I was saying.
The lime one, the new one they're doing.
Yeah, so I think in the week between where we record this and where this will actually come out, I think it should release.
Yeah. No, I really like this. I'm surprised because I always get nervous. It's a hazy. It smelled so hoppy, but it's still so sour. And, well, I mean, it's a Blue Owl, so you can expect the sourness.
That's good. What's the ABV on this?
7.6.
But it's so I guess because it's a sour, it's so juicy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really packed.
I mean, yeah, a lot of hazy IPAs are very juicy already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think they did a great beer.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone have anything else to add to this? I think I'm just going to enjoy this during our break.
This is really good. So the flavor profile is officially, it's freshly squeezed tropical fruits flavors mingle with a soft, rounded body and finish with a slightly puckered bite at the end. So nothing too in-depth. That's, accurate.
Yeah, definitely. I'm getting a lot of citrusy fruits.
Oh, yeah.
Pineapple, papaya. Like,
there's kind of a nice sweet flavor in the middle where it's not like aggressively tart the whole
time. It's less like biting into a pineapple and more like drinking a pineapple juice at times.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Because the flavor's still there, but like that's what they're talking about with like that rounded feel.
But I like that the hops kind of, I don't know, it makes it easier to take. It's not just fruity. It's not just sour.
Right. It's not just a juice. It is.
Yeah.
It's got some substance to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one's a winner.
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Good job, Carter.
I mean, just already far and away my favorite we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I just liked the other two, but because this is fantastic.
I was going to say, this is really good. I saw this and I was like, I know he likes hazy IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Blue Owl.
Yeah.
The only thing that could have ruined it is if you had already tried it.
No, I hadn't. I didn't know this existed.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy.
They've apparently had it for 3 years. It was, I guess, a taproom exclusive.
Oh, yeah. I've never been to their taproom.
Yeah. So now they finally have
it. I drive past it quite a bit. It's on Chavez.
Well, here it is.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, you guys have three more beers for me to try.
All wildly different again.
I'm very excited. All right, we'll be right back.
Love is beautiful.
Why?
Welcome back to Tap Heads. Just want you all to know that you are loved, and we're so excited you could be back with us for the second half of our show.
Yes.
This is the Wendy and Carter. I forgot the names. Wendy and Carter.
Wow.
Wendy really doesn't want to be associated with Carter.
You know, Jesus. We were kind of having a back and forth over text yesterday about buying the beers.
I know Carter was telling me.
I was with
Jackie. I really had to fight hard for us to buy them together, like friends. She was like, no, we'll just do it separately. You pick three, I pick three. And I'm like, that's not a collaborative effort, Wendy.
Collaboration is a loose term.
All right, stop.
All right.
Collaborate and listen.
So, the next beer, Carter, do you want to tell us a bit about it?
I'm going to talk about this one. I'd never heard of this brewery, and it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
You'll see it, and you'll know it was a Carter pick.
Okay.
Yes.
Actually, four of these are Carter picks.
Are you familiar with the Einstock Ulgerd?
No, I'm not.
They're an Icelandic brewery located just 60 miles south of the Arctic Circle in the fishing port of Akure, Iceland. The waters flow from rain and prehistoric glaciers down the Hidalfor Mountain through ancient lava fields, delivering the purest water on Earth and the perfect foundation for brewing deliciously refreshing craft ales.
We know. Bow, bow.
God damn. It's incredible.
Do you hate that I have a button that does your?
No, I just.
Would you prefer I did this?
No. I love me. I just hate that, like, Carter was having this very impactful, weird Icelandic craft beer, and it's just me going, meow, 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 meow.
Anyway.
That's great.
The one drunker I get, the more buttons I hit.
They have, three or four of the Einstock. The one I gravitated to was the Wee Heavy.
Okay.
Which is a Wee
Heavy beer.
Right, it's a Wee Heavy, yeah.
Yeah. So Viking history in Scotland.
We've had our Scotch ale before. We had Real Heavy from Real Ale Brewing.
Yes.
Real Ale.
And this is the Wee Heavy from Einstock. So their little blurb here is, Viking history in Scotland goes back 1,000 years. Even our brewmaster studied in Edinburgh, where he carefully surveyed the local brew.
He studied the blade.
Now we return. No, I'll pour it. Now we return with an Icelandic Scotch ale. Brewed with locally farmed and smoked barley and spiced with native Icelandic angelica, a fabled herb ancient Vikings used as currency. Oh. Surrender your taste buds. They have no choice but to be conquered.
This is... Wait, let me see this can. Oh, my God.
The can is incredible.
This they've is got a Game of Thrones-ass can.
A Viking on it.
Oh,
all of their cans are very intense.
I love this.
I saw this and was like, I need to try all of them right now.
Yes.
Did you buy more than?
No, I just got this one. So I'm going to go back because there were a couple other beers there that I saw that I was like, well, I want to try. They had a Creek that was like a cranberry cherry Creek. It looked very good.
The Wild Goose? Yeah. Wildberry? I don't remember what it's called. They had a bunch of them.
This looks like a Scotch ale.
Yeah.
Looks like cola.
It does look like cola.
It's a little cola-ish. It's a little more root beer-y, maybe.
It looks like there's some color on the head of that, which I'm surprised.
Ooh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's got a very malty nose to it.
Yep.
The head is nice, and it's not super even. Carter poured himself at the very end of it.
It's fine.
You can have a little bit of mine. I'm probably not going to drink as much this.
This one isn't actually as heavy as
it could be. It's got a brownish...
This one is... Oh, it's 8%. This one's pretty heavy.
Copper? I don't know how to describe what color. Amber?
It's kind of amberish, kind of.
But yeah, they have a...
If you hold it up to the light, it's almost like a burnt orange.
They have like a white ale, and they have a...
So a wheat beer.
Yeah, they have a number of things that I was like, this looks delicious. So if this is good, I'm definitely going to try their other ones.
Yeah, I'm excited to try this.
I also just love how intense. They go really hard on all of the descriptions.
I'm into this.
There's one that it's like Vikings conquered the land and laid the seeds of this barley that we then used in our beer.
Ooh.
Yeah, very
good. I just sipped it. Mm-hmm. I will let you sip. I'll let you both sip.
No, you got to tell us what you think.
It tastes like it smells.
Yeah.
The nose is not lying on this one. That's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Very malty.
Yeah.
Very, I'm getting a lot of caramel. Kind of like a burnt caramel almost. Mm-hmm. Like a caramelized caramel.
Yeah. There's a smokiness to it.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. My voice cracked. It was weird.
This is a man's beer.
I'm a man.
I do like this beer a lot. I can tell it's a Scotch ale.
Very full-bodied.
You can definitely tell.
Very scotchy.
But the other, what was, did I rate the other one? Because these have very two distinct flavors.
Yeah.
It's very boozy in the actual taste.
Yeah.
But not like any more than a regular Scotch ale. Like it's.
No.
This is not overly boozy.
Yeah. This isn't as, this is a very good one. And I'm going to say this and it's going to sound like I'm trying to say something bad about either of these beers. Old Chub from Oscar Blues is a Scotch ale that's pretty widely distributed in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more drinkable than this one. I think this one has better flavor to it. This is a much this. I think everything matches the intensity of a Scotch ale here. Mm-hmm. Old Chub is a very good Scotch ale as well, but this is much heavier, much more full bodied than that one. And that's kind of the. That and Real Heavy are the two that I kind of compare most Scotch ales to, as they're both locally produced, and you can kind of always compare it against your favorite locals.
But I like this. Like, I love the Scotch ale profile. The other one, it was really toffee, really candy. Mm-hmm. But this one's just, like, malty. Just
Good. Lots of caramel notes is what I'm getting. The predominant flavor is caramel.
Yeah.
Or caramel, whatever you want to. I change between the two, and that bothers people.
I do it too. I'm now definitely going to try all the other ones.
Yeah, we're definitely, we're going to have to
They had
what is this brewery called again?
Einstock.
Einstock.
Einstock. E-I-N-S-T-O with an umlaut.
Okay.
All right.
Einstock. Einstock. Einstock, Ulberg, Icelandic.
I'm into it.
I'm into it. I love the cans, how like aggressively masculine they are.
The beer tastes that way.
Yeah, it's very like...
Like no fucking candy.
There's no...
No happiness.
No beer, complexity.
Some scotch.
Men's Viking beer.
Why? The Arctic Circle. Whatever that means.
I love...
The Arctic Circle?
I love how... I keep saying it's full-bodied, but it is very smooth.
Yes. It's extremely smooth, which I really like.
Very good. Very, very good.
All right, next one's a stout, so you might want to...
Yeah.
Actually, you're not going to finish
this. Do you like the rest of this? I'm trying to drive.
We're so excited for this next one.
Mm. Yeah, the next one is the one Winnie and I think, are most excited about.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm really excited about the last one just because I'm a fan. But.
Yeah.
This one, Carter saw it and immediately was like, this beer.
All right.
Yeah, we both. I mean, I was like, what do you think?
Love. Tell them what it is. Just tell them.
Just pull it out. Let me see it. Whip it out.
We're looking at.
Let me see it.
Left hand.
Left hand.
Peanut butter.
Oh.
Milk stout.
Yes. Yes. I have not had this. I've wanted to try this.
Good.
I have not had this.
Good. It's 6% ABV, 25 IBUs from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont, Colorado.
Nice pop.
I had thought about when I was preparing for the stout episode, I actually saw this at Witchcraft, and I thought about getting it. I decided I was able to find enough regular stouts that we didn't do milk stouts, and I was like, maybe I'll save this for a milk stout episode.
I want to go back because they have a Temptress barrel aged.
Oh, yeah.
So
barrel-aged Temptress is very good. Yeah, it's going to kind of do the nitro thing.
Yeah.
You can give it to whoever.
I'll take it.
Did you already read the little bit?
Oh my god,
have
you smelled this?
Yes.
Did you guys try it at the
No. Carter was mentioning when you weren't here that apparently this beer smells like what it is.
Have you had this before?
No. I was reading up reviews of it and basically they said it smells exactly as
it smells like it smells like a Reese's
peanut butter cup. I want it.
But it apparently tastes a little different.
Yeah. It looking at the image online, it has a bunch of peanut butter cups. It looks cute.
There was one. I saw one that was a can, that was like a can just covered in peanut butter, and that was the image. Jesus,
the nose is so peanut butter and chocolatey. I'm waiting for the head to kind of go down.
I'm surprised.
It literally just smells like Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh my god.
I'm a little surprised at the ABV on this.
It's dark very as low. Hell.
It's 6%.
Because I'm like with this strong of a nose, and I'm like, I feel like this is gonna hide so much booze, but it's only a 6%.
So. No. Like I said, dark as hell. This might be darker than the desert skies we had the other day.
I don't know. Well, maybe. No, that's why I'm getting a little bit of a halo in it.
I do like the... It does have a really nice amber halo to it.
Oh, it smells so good.
Yes.
I want a candle.
Yeah, I want a candle just the scent.
I just want to bathe in peanut butter sometimes, though.
But, Should we try it? Because
I think we
the description's just exactly what we're probably gonna taste.
Try it. What do we think? What do we think?
Wow.
I like it.
This is lighter. I thought it would be a heavier body.
No. I mean, it's a similar body to Milk's, to Left Hand Milk Stout, which mm-hmm. is exactly what I was expecting. Those peanut butter notes are present, mm-hmm. but
subtle.
Subtle.
Not nearly as present as it is in the nose.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nose definitely adds most of that peanut butter to it. I like this a lot, though.
Yeah.
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 This is tasty. We have plenty of it.
Yeah. I'll be honest.
Yeah, top me off.
I taste a bit of banana, and for me, it's not. I don't think it's because
I wonder if that's the peanut butter, because they probably have a similar sweetness.
Yes. So what I was gonna say is that when I was younger,
it's a vegetal sweetness.
Yeah. Because
you can do peanut butter and bananas.
When I was younger, my godfather was
Elvis, and he made a peanut butter.
No, he used to make chocomil, which is what he would call it, like choco milk, and would put in banana, he would put in chocolate, and it would make a very similar taste. And so when I drink it, I really do think back of that drink.
This is very good.
I'm very happy.
I'm very into this.
Yeah.
This is a good choice.
The stout isn't...
Put this in a milkshake.
Oh my God. This in a peanut butter milkshake?
Exactly.
Ooh. Ooh.
Even just mixed with like... Okay, so beer floats are a thing. Have you guys had beer floats before?
No,
but that makes sense.
Imagine this with Amy's Mexican Vanilla ice cream.
Ooh,
oh, that sounds so good. That is yes, I want that because this like
let's go get some Amy's ice cream.
It makes sense because I was thinking of that like milkshake, that chocolatey drink. Like this is so good, and like you guys said, it's subtle and it's not heavy. Like I would. Surprised, like, I would not realize I'd had two or three of these, even though I'd eventually be like, I'm kind of full.
I want like eight of these.
Yeah.
It's very easy to drink.
I love Left Hand Milk Stout. Yeah. It's the reason it hasn't been on the show is that I don't need to tell anybody how good Left Hand Milk Stout is. At where I used to work, we had a person who turned 21 in the office. I'll name check him by first name, Peter, because Carter used to work there. Our friend Peter turned 21 while he was working for us, and our bosses told me go to HEB, go buy him some beer. You're the beer guy, you know beer. And he told me he liked dark beer. I was like, oh, no question, he's getting a couple of bottles of Left Hand Milk Stout Nitro. We talked about it. I told him.
You mentioned it before.
Yeah, I told him about, do the hard pour for the nitro milk stout. I'm guessing this was a nitro at Witchcraft?
No.
It didn't say, which makes me think it's not.
I mean, you would just have to look at the tap if it's got kind of the long black tap head.
I don't think so. It didn't say on the name.
I don't know. I'm sure I'll be at Witchcraft sometime soon and I'll get to check it. Do they
take me with you.
Do they still have Funky Kingston or are they still working on...
I don't think so.
I love that stuff. I love this. It's a shame we've never talked about it. Have we talked about Funky Kingston?
I think we've talked about it. I don't think we tasted it on here. You and I have definitely talked about it off air.
Yes.
I would love to go with you. I want to try that Temptress so bad. They have a French Quarters, too, which is also another barrel age of theirs. But this beer, great.
Yes, very solid.
I have a hard time... smelling beers in general. I don't have a great sense of smell. This one, though, like they mentioned,
out of curiosity, do you feel like your sense of smell has gotten better since you've done this, or at least like being able to pick up?
No, it's also hard because I don't cook often. I don't know many different spices and smells. So for me, if I smell something, I'm kind of like, oh, maybe won't. I don't know. But this is a smell that I do know, and like the fact that I can tell what it is, I'm like, it is strong. But it doesn't taste that strong.
It's very, very good.
It is good.
This could easily, not that we need to age everything in a bourbon barrel. Maybe you're just a fan of that. But if you did.
Just like bourbon, Wendy?
I love
bourbon. I can't think of it. I don't know if they've done bourbon barrel aged milk stout. It might not do well with the lactose.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't think it would. I am not a fan, as much as I love wine, I'm not a fan of bourbon barrel aged wine.
I think that's tricky.
The bourbon... like flavor profile.
Well, yeah, wine's does, already barrel aged.
Does not, yeah, does not mix well with wine.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I will say, though, stouts that are aged in wine barrels are very good.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be.
If you do, like, you kind of get a chocolate cherry flavor.
Yeah. I imagine, yeah. Which I already like those tastes, the chocolate toffee, caramel coffee. So I like
vanilla. Chocolate toffee, caramel coffee? Mm-hmm. Ooh, we should make a merch shirt that's the chocolate, the Amberson signs with the chocolate and toffee.
Oh,
and caramel
and coffee. It's good.
Helvetica.
And then we aged that shirt in a bourbon barrel.
All right.
We aged the shirt. Yeah.
All right.
You ready for the last one?
Sure.
So I picked this one. And you can tell which ones I picked.
It's St. Arnold Fancy Lawnmower.
No, but it is a St. Arnold. It is
St. Arnold.
It is actually St. Arnold Divine Reserve, number 17.
Nice. I haven't had this one. Yes. I love the Divine Reserve series.
So I'll talk a bit about the Divine Reserve series.
Yes, please.
We didn't realize they were all different.
Oh, they are all different.
We thought it was more so like the year and the release of the batch. We didn't know it was a whole series until now. The Divine Reserve is a series of single batch beers, each brewed with a completely different recipe. The batches are identified by the number on the neck. There's no particular theme, and if you go through these, it's wild.
You guys remember when we did the Bishop's Barrel on our St. Arnold episode?
Yes.
So those numbers are referring, similar to the fun, actually, which is the the number refers to the which one in the series it is.
Yes.
Anyway, continue.
So, there's no particular theme, although it's assumed that most of them will be big, and many benefit from being aged under refrigeration, not at room temperature, and they brew small batches, so you got to like be on the lookout because they go out fast.
They brew them small batch. They're probably, they're still pretty easy to find when they come out.
Yeah.
These are a big deal. People in Texas love the Divine Reserve series.
So at Witchcraft, they had 17 and 18.
18's a very good one. I really liked 18 and I liked 19 as well.
Yeah.
We didn't know. I wanted to try 19.
19 is very, very good.
They didn't have it.
I'm trying to remember which one.
They have 18.
What is 18? I'm trying to 17. Remember. What.
It's an Imperial Stout.
Yeah, 18 is a stout.
19 is the oat.
Yes.
Spiced oat wine.
That's very, very
number
good.
16.
Kind of very up my alley.
Number 16 is an Adam Beer. Beer? I don't know how you say that.
Beer. You just
Adam
just
Beer, like, yeah.
Adam Beer. But let me tell you what number 17 is, which is the lucky thing we ended up with. It's a Baltic Porter.
Ooh.
So it has orange. You might get an idea of it. It's a beer that pulls from traditions of the British Porter, Russian Imperial Stout, lagers of Central Europe, yada, yada, yada. It's a 9.2 ABV.
9.2. Our booziest.
It is.
Not too boozy.
47 IBUs. And
we've had some like 17%.
Yeah, not as bad as the, what was the insane one?
Oh, the 120 days dry aged stout?
Yeah.
From Evil Twin?
It's like 17, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 17.5 or something.
I want you to try this first because it starts describing the malts and stuff in this, and that kind of will spoil what this flavor is.
It already smells very good.
Baltic Porter.
When you hold it up to the light, like you can see the light through it, it gets kind of.
I was going to say, this one's dark. A little more translucent.
It was brewed in October 26th of 2016. It was bottled in December 28th of 2016. So, boys, drink up.
What do we think?
It tastes boozy.
Yeah.
There's a weird aftertaste that I'm not a huge fan of. I can't tell what it is.
Yeah.
Almost like a smoky or a tobacco-y flavor, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm fine with this. This is another porter.
What does it say in the flavor?
So, as a pleasant sweetness that balances the roastiness of the beer, which you definitely get.
Very roasty.
Yeah.
It's made by a combination of malts.
Tastes kind of like a dark
Munich
roast
malt
beer.
As the base. Chocolate, wheat, and brown malts for color, and flaked oats to round out the body. It has pearl hops in it to balance the bitterness. The old Bavarian lager yeast is used in this beer. It's the same used in the 5 o'clock pills, the Springbok, and the summer pills. Yeah. It's the first lager they brewed for this series. And it says you can age it. It'll probably the alcohol smooth out. Whatever. There's a crystal on 120. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some kind of smokiness or something. Like, I can't.
I don't dislike it.
I don't dislike it. This is definitely, I mean, like, the Divine Reserve already is an occasion beer. It's not an everyday beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not an easy drink either.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly complex and bold.
I will say I like the 18 and the 19 better.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so crazy. That's why, like...
It's also hard when you're making a beer like this that is intended to be aged and seen and, you know, and to be tried at different points in time. You don't always know how it's going to turn out later.
I was going to say, this was bottled in 2016.
I would be so excited to age these. 2020
now, yeah.
Yeah.
Because everything on here, everything in this series is so different. There's a double IPA. There's an old ale. There's a Belgian strong ale. There's a bunch of imperial stouts. There's this porter. There's a Weizenbach American barley wine. It's crazy. The first of the series was a barley wine made in 2005. Holy shit. Oh, man. I personally am a fan of this one a lot. And not to be surprised, not surprising, but I picked this one and the Carbach one, you know, just because I love those. But also, shout out to Houston, I guess.
Yeah.
H-Town. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, this is not a beer you could probably drink every day. And if you are drinking it every day, maybe slow down. But otherwise, live your best life. It's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Burp.
Okay. Well, yeah, these are all great. Thank you, guys.
I'll be honest, I kind of mix them up. They both taste delicious.
I'm glad.
Should I mix it?
You liked them.
Probably I don't know if you
not.
Should.
Probably not.
I don't know if that Divine Reserve is going to go with the,
with
the peanut butter milk stout. I could drink 10 million of those peanut butter milk stouts. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
That's the peanut butter.
Yeah.
And like I said, I keep tasting banana.
I was going to say, you should just like smell them both. One would clearly smell like...
What did I just say?
But you can smell the peanut butter.
That's true. You're right. It smells so much.
All right.
I'm going to say thank you, Carter. Because it's really, I can't tell you enough how much this really brings back memories.
I'm glad.
Yes, it's so weird. It's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Robbie, tell us your overall feelings.
You guys did a very good job. These are a huge rainbow coalition of different beers.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't fucking up with your taste, but it's too much.
No. And I will say, when you told me before we recorded that I'm trying to compose all my thoughts while being a little bit buzzed.
That's cool.
When you told me how all over the map these were, it definitely is. No beer is exactly like the other. But I thought I was mostly worried that you were going to look at all six of these beers and go, oh, let's just order them by ABV or let's like, you know.
No.
But your best guess, I think your instincts were right in the way you ordered them.
Yes.
You know, you didn't know how sour the fun was going to be. I might have switched the horchata.
Yeah.
The high tide.
Yeah.
But those other than that, you weren't expecting that high tide to be as sour as it was.
Yeah.
No.
So.
We thought it'd be a lot sweeter.
Yeah. Your instincts were right.
It's cool though.
Could
you imagine if we had put the high tide with one of these stout with like the?
I knew not to do that.
I knew to group the stouts and the Scotch ale together.
I know, but how wild would that have been?
But other than that, I thought that your instincts were right on. Good job there. That was the thing I was most worried about when you said we were going all over the place. Yeah. Was that I was going to be?
That's why we had to make sure we had them ordered correctly.
Yeah,
we had multiple meetings.
I noticed. I was.
Yeah.
We're like,
you did it before we could get food, and then you did it before we recorded again. All very, very good. Carter always orders his beers in the in front of him, just quite literally by the cans and bottles.
Yeah.
Your order, I think, is very on brand.
It is. It's very me.
That being said, do you want me to go first? Do you want me to go to last? What's the?
Are we ranking?
How about we go first and then he'll go last?
All right.
He's the man of the hour.
Happy birthday.
It's not my birthday.
It's not
I know.
Even close.
It's cool.
Hopefully by the time this airs.
Yeah. I'll be
you're
something
old
else.
Enough.
It'll be my birthday. Hopefully it'll be my birthday.
Hopefully. My number six.
See you in March and we'll give you an update.
Yeah. My number six is the Orzata. Mm-hmm. I liked it. It's good. It's different. It definitely has the most kind of artificial taste.
Believe it or not, the person who picked it wasn't the Hispanic person.
I picked it, yes.
Everyone looks at the white.
However,
I also love I want to commend you for
picking it, though, because honestly, I have that fear of picking things that say this is like this drink, because then you have these expectations.
Right, like the Mexican chocolate Yeti.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although that one kind of held up to expectations.
It was good. It was fine.
Yeah, this one's
this one also held up to the expectation of the drink fine. It was.
Tastes exactly like horchata, which is interesting.
I'll talk about my review when I get
the
there.
Brewery, as always, never lets down. Always something weird.
The two or three that you've had.
And different, yeah, the two or three I've had. So that's my number six. Not bad. I didn't dislike any of these beers. Just going
to
preface that.
Which, shout out to you.
We say that every episode. You should take a drink every time someone says, I didn't dislike any of these beers.
Shit. Shots?
Shots. Number five for me.
Shots of double barrel, double pecan porter.
Yeah.
Bourbon barrel aged double pecan porter.
Jesus.
That was so good.
My number five is going to be the St. Arnold Divine. Well, you just gave me the finger.
It was great.
I liked it. I still liked it. But it was, I agree with Robbie, it's kind of a strange aftertaste that I didn't love. It is very bold and boozy. But I don't know that I would drink this again. I very much would like to try the 18 or the 19 because they both seem much more up my alley, but maybe.
Like,
I think you'd really like the 18. I think you'll... The 19's interesting.
The 19, I'm very excited to try. It's the oat wine.
Yeah. Try it. It's weird.
Spiced oat wine, yeah.
It is weird.
I think the 18 would be more me than you.
I mean, I like Imperial Stouts.
However, listeners.
The 18 is very, very... Like, when I tell you the Divine Reserve 18 is very, very good, I mean it. Like, it's just...
Listeners, don't forget, every one of these is different.
Yeah.
Just because it's a number doesn't mean the same type, but different year. No, they're all different.
Right.
Yeah, we learned that in the car after we bought these, and we're like, oh, Wendy, did you know this is a porter?
A Baltic porter?
I kept reading at the store. I was like, it says it's an Adam beer. Adam Beyer. I don't know.
Anyway, my number 654. My number four is the Fun, the High Tide. Good.
Yeah.
Interesting. Sour, refreshing. I would drink this on the beach. I would drink it again.
The only downside, I think, to this is they sell it in four packs.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I'd rather have a six pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But pay the extra $5 or whatever.
Easily replace, like, all your other Corona.
Yeah, it's
does, whatever.
Remarkably pleasant and very refreshing. Then we get up. My number three is
I would recommend going to the brewery and having it. From the tap.
Yeah.
Or having any of the Fun or the Bourbon Barrel Hellfire from the tap.
I mean, that's always the best way to get it.
Especially at the brewery. The keg, it's literally kegged feet away.
When we got the Hefeweizen at Live Oak, it was so good. It's like the purest form.
The blue crystal.
Oh, it was so good. My number three is the Einstuck.
How do you spell that?
E-I-N.
Found it because apparently there's nothing else that goes E-I.
The Wee Heavy, the Scotch Ale.
Never mind, I pulled up the
I love Scotch. I like Scotch Ales. This was good. This was solid. It's not quite as fanciful as some of the other ones. Not bad, though. Still bold. Still robust. But I enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to trying the other Einstuck brewery beers. My number two, the Left Hand Peanut Butter Milk Stout. This is to die for. Oh my gosh, it's delicious.
I wish we had
some vanilla ice cream here. Mm-hmm. Pour it straight over it. We still have some left. Wow, this is good. Just sweet, but not too sweet. Not necessarily refreshing, but satisfying. My number one. Without a doubt, we were kind of falling all over it. The Blue Owl, Can't Quit You. I can't quit it. The name is accurate. Oh my God, this sour hazy IPA is incredible. Between the very like the hoppy nose and the sour weedy finish, ooh, it's just got kind of the best of both worlds and everything I like. It's absolutely delicious and my number one. Wendy?
What's up? This is Wendy with the W in case you forgot. But guess what? Guess what you didn't, because it's me. It's it. Bow, bow. I've actually killed off the boys. If you can't tell, that's why it's so quiet. It's just me. Oh, man, you can't edit that out now. My rankings, my number six, if you can't tell from my earlier comments, is also the Orxata. I liked it. I really did. But it just, knowing the flavors that are in there, I just wish they were stronger, more prominent. And I think it's a fine beer. But I just wish it was bolder.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. My number five is the, let me see how I say it, the Icelandic Wee Heavy. That's the one we have.
The Wee Heavy, yeah.
The Einstock.
Einstock. Olga. Einstock. The Wee Heavy. I thought it was great. And, like, I think from this one and on, maybe the next one, but these are where I'm just like, all of these are great. I'm getting drunk off this. Whatever. I thought it was great. I really appreciated that it was a subtle flavor with a Scotch ale. And, like, I always appreciate when I can see the range of what you can do within a type of the beer, you know, whether it be it's a triple style or it's just a blonde or whatever. But knowing, like, when we had that real ale, how the flavor profile was mm-hmm. so different. And this one is also so different, but it's also subtle. And I'm like, you can drink a bunch of these and be like, you're with the boys, you're with the men.
I will say the best thing about the real heavy from real ale mm-hmm. is what it turns into when you barrel age it and it becomes that Scott's Gonna Wild.
That sounds wild.
We had it. We had it on the episode.
I want more.
So good.
It's been a while. I can't remember.
You remember it, right, Carter?
Yeah.
The Scott. Yeah. That's the best thing about real heavy is that it becomes Scott's Gone Wild.
Oh, yeah.
So those are my two. Oh, man. I have four more to rank, which is really hard. I think I know my number one. Do I? Oh, man. I really love these beers. Shout out to us for picking them. My number four. my number four is going to be the Divine Reserve. I thought it was really good. However, it did take me a couple drinks more and kind of like letting it sit for me to start getting more of those flavors in there. But it's a very me beer, but I really liked it. And so I really want to check out more of the series, which is crazy because you can't have a different number and be like, oh, it's like the other one. It's like, or better than, it's like, no, well, they're each their own beer. But I thought it was delicious. And I'm curious as to letting it age, how that, the flavors would
change. It is weird when you don't give each individual one like a name. Like Carbach gives like... Fun 18 is high tide.
It's high tide, like, yeah. But this one's, it's 17. It's its own individual. But I'm really curious how the flavors would be once they mellow out more. But I thought it was great. My number three will be the Can't Quit You, the Sour Hazy IPA. Love it. And, you know, at the start of the show, I was afraid of, like, IPAs. To me, hazy meant super hoppy. Don't know where it was going.
I don't know why you thought that.
Because I always assume it with any IPA. However,
hazy means it's always pretty low on the like actual flavorful hops. It's very aromatic, but it gives it that juicy haziness.
That sounds delicious.
And it doesn't taste
Which makes as sense because that's tiny. The St. Arnold winner one that you brought was so good. It was so juicy. And that's the same with this one. So by the name, you would expect to be pretty juicy, but because it's also that Sarah the Blue Owl, they nail it, they did it great. And it makes me excited for more of their beer, as per usual. Also, it's a tall boy, so you're going to get fucked up. It's great. And then my number two will be... Oh, man. I really love both of these, and they're so different than two I left. Fuck. I think I will... I'm going to be a little different. I'm going to give the number two to the left-hand peanut butter. And my number one and my number two, they're so different, but to me, they're both number one. But the left hand, so great. It smells so much like peanut butter, but it's not filled and packed with that. It's, like Carter mentioned, it's not like artificial. It doesn't taste artificial like the Orzata. You know, the flavor, it's so relaxed. It'd be great in a beer float. It's delicious. You get the chocolate, you know, you can sip on it in a couple. It's just really relaxed, man, and. It's a great time for it. And then my number one will be the Fun High Tide, not just because I'm fun. I thought it was delicious. It was really juicy. The passion fruit was great. I've never had a tequila barrel age. And so I was I was a little hesitant as to how that was going to affect the taste. However, the fruits were great, and I'd be really curious too. And that's the same with like this one and the number two, the left hand, is that if you mix them with a beer cocktail or something, what would it taste like?
Did you have the Shiner Cerveza?
I think I did. I didn't care too much for it.
It was tequila aged.
I'm also not a fan of Shiner. So,
wow. Yeah. It's okay.
But this one though, you would taste that it's boozy, but you still get the fruits in it. And like tequila also has a very distinct taste. And so, you know, I thought it was great. And I want to have a bunch of these. I want to get like White Girl Wasted. So thank you. That is me.
All right. This is what you guys have been waiting for?
Robbie, yes.
My opinions?
Here it is.
It's only like I made a podcast to give my opinions.
Happy birthday.
Not my birthday.
I know, but
that's
it's
ready May. For it.
That's in May. Are. You guys are going to have to do this again in May.
I'm sure.
I don't care.
The next step is for each of us to do our own where we pick six and bring it for the other two.
Oh, you guys are
every episode fucked. I pick six and bring it for you two.
Exactly.
So but you're we'll the pro.
Thanks. That being said, let's get into my ranks. My number six, this is actually where I put the Divine Reserve, number 17.
Wow.
I don't love that aftertaste.
That's fine.
I don't love that aftertaste, and because of that, I don't think I would drink it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. I think the flavors are there in the actual beer itself.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it's aging. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm wondering about. I might try it again in 6 months or a year, see where it's turned out, but right now it's got that weird smoky tobacco-y aftertaste that's not vibing with the rest of the beer. That being said, St. Arnold, still a great brewery. I would also like to see how this would play like mixed with some of their other beers.
Mm-hmm. Or
maybe if Divine Reserve 17 is like somehow a blend of 17, 18, 19. I don't think they'd do that, but maybe.
Yeah.
You know, we saw how well the blend turned out for their Grand Cru, so...
Mm-hmm.
My number five is the Orzata. This one winds up here because I think the base beer, I think that blonde ale is very, very good. I think it's well brewed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the additives that are in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that most of the Orzata flavor is coming from the additives and not from the actual beer itself. It feels like you, like I said, it feels like you got like an Orzata syrup or something.
And it really does taste.
A blonde ale.
To me, I drink a lot.
It's almost crystal lighty. Not in the same sense, but like you're.
I drink a lot of horchata in my life, and it tastes like you poured one into the other.
Yeah. It's not crystal light, but it's the syrupy one. You like squirt.
Mio
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you squirt that into water. It feels like they squirted a horchata Mio into a blonde ale. Not bad, though. I still like it. I still think it's very drinkable. I would have like one, though. I would never have like the rest of these, I think I could have two, if not more. Until, you know, I'm under the table in certain instances.
Yeah.
Number four is the High Tide for me. Not because of anything bad. Actually, strike that. I'm going to tie the three and the four.
Okay.
I'm going to tie these both at three. That's because I felt bad putting one of them at four. They're both very, very good. The other two, my top two, are very much my top two.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But three and four are so tight, I'm going to call them both three. That's the Icelandic Wee Heavy and the High Tide.
Yeah.
I feel bad putting either of them below the other. Yes. And so they're both going at three. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Okay. For different reasons. Wee Heavy is fantastic.
It's good.
Everything is there. The flavors are there. The body is there to back it up. It's not overwhelmingly boozy, but it's got all the flavors. I love it. The High Tide is so much fun. I love the flavors that are present. I love the little agave notes that we get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the base beer is also pretty good. It's got a strong base beer to go with it. Definitely, I love this fun series. I'm excited to see what Carbach does next with it.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is the Blue Owl Can't Quit You. A solid, hazy IPA with a sour note to it. I think I like it better than the brunch IPA we had this weekend at Last Stand. Mm-hmm. Although I would have to maybe have them side by side. That wouldn't be an episode. I don't know how many sour, hazy IPAs there are out there. But
yeah.
I liked it a lot. I'm excited to have it again. It's probably of these, the one I could drink the most of and still be very, very happy. So mm-hmm. Definitely catch me at my local HEB picking up some four packs of these tall boys.
Yeah.
And then my number one, far and away, is the peanut butter milk stout. Ooh, oh my God, so I could drink so much of it. I'm so glad you guys brought it. I've been wanting to try it for so long. The second you said left hand, yes. I was got very excited. Oh, you guys did a very good job.
Yes.
Woo!
So thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for letting us. Thanks for giving letting us. Letting
you. You guys can do this anytime you want.
We could just take an episode.
That's true.
We are two-thirds of tap heads. We could kick off Robbie.
We could if we joined together, but I feel like you hate me so much, so.
You're right. I didn't want to shop with you. I'm kidding.
She didn't.
The next, like Carter said, the next step is to let each of you take an episode on your own.
I know. We'll get there.
But
we'll get there.
It'll be
thank you guys so much.
Mine will be only sell us white six times.
It. I hate you. Fall in Carter's love with
going,
it again.
Carter's going to do the sell us episode. Oh,
sell us white six times. And
yeah, let's do those plugs.
Creek. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at CA Spilliards. Like spill something you got an NNS. I tweet. We'll listen to Film Fracas.
He tweets. Yeah. Now.
We're in. We're approaching. This will be. This will come out.
This will come out the 13th.
13th. So this will not be
right
our.
Right before Valentine's?
This is our not penultimate episode, but the next almost penultimate episode? Yeah. So this will come out the day before our third to last episode. So go listen to that.
Yeah.
This season has been very good. We're talking about Best Picture winners.
I'm enjoying it a lot.
It's good.
This is Wendy. So this is coming out the 13th of February?
Yes.
So if you're listening to this and you're single Happy and interested Valentine's Day, yeah. in taking me out on a date, or I can take you out, let
give your
me
date
know.
Some peanut butter milk stuff.
I do love peanut butter cups. You can find me on all social medias at Wendy with a W. Let me know what you think of our show. Let me know if there's a beer you want me to try. Profess your love, or tell me how I can profess my love. I love the people I work with. Both you and my actual job. I'm very blessed and lucky. things that I'm working on. We're going to be... Oh, wait. This is the 13th. So I can talk about this now. We are doing a show for South by Southwest. With South by Southwest. It's called Texas Music, The Untold Stories. It's a different variation of our Texas Monthly Live where we take stories from the page to the stage. Except this one's centered around music and a bunch of like... musicians with Texas ties, whether they're from here or
can you family. Reveal any of the musicians?
No, because right now at the moment I'm not sure who's gonna be in it. Lineup coming soon, if not already out. Check it out on our website or ask me. I hope to see you there. Thanks.
All right, as always, you can find me on Twitter and now TikTok. Robbie D. Shazer.
Robbie's TikTok is
doing better than any of my other social media.
Blow it up.
You can also find me on Untapped at Robbie DeShazer. When this comes out the 13th, you still have a little over a week to get tickets to All Men and King Guillotine Present. It's Your Funeral at Cold Town Theater.
We can all go together.
We are so excited. We've been rehearsing this show now, like for real, and I'm so excited for what we're doing.
I'm so thrilled. Like, kill me now.
So, yes. Please come check out some fantastic improvisers. I'll throw out some names for there for some people. So I will be there. Sarah Yokley will be there, who is a fantastic
Sarah's
comedian.
Great.
And
she
writer.
Doesn't know. She's a friend of the show.
She doesn't even know she's a friend of the show. But
she's great.
Victoria Schillings, Dave Rosen, Will Todd, and more. We're very excited. We're putting on this. I think it's going to be a really cool show. It's produced and directed by local comedian Devin Coleman, who is a fantastic person. Please come out and show your love. If we get people to show up, it will get more runs in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Plus potentially, I can't talk about that right now.
That's great. So. But also, as a witness, as an audience member, as a reviewer, Robbie's so fucking good at improv.
Thank you.
So come to his show.
He's very good.
Yeah. He knows his beer, knows his improv.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Thank you to Carter and Wendy for choosing the beers for this Woo! Episode. I can't say that enough. We'll be back in in 2 weeks. Follow the show on Twitter at Taphead Show. Follow each of us on our individual social medias. Yes. And as always, drink responsibly. And, you know, thanks for listening.
Ta-ta.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tap Heads. Make sure to give the show a 5-star rating wherever it is that you're listening. It really does help the show out. If you want to help buy us a beer, you can by going to anchor.fm/tapheads and click support this podcast. We love the support from our fans and we will be eternally grateful to you. You can always follow the show on Twitter @tapheadshow. And finally, remember to always drink responsibly. Thanks for listening and we'll be back with a new episode soon. Media.